This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.com.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball, give us a call at 887-4783. That's area code 517-884-4783 for your chance to win tickets to the MSU Loyola of Chicago game coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on campus. So give us a call to win those. And of course, if you do win, you have to pick up the tickets today by 5 o'clock. So remember that. If you do win, you have to get here by 5 o'clock today to pick up your tickets. Once again, the number to call, area code 517-884-4783, 517-884-4783. And later on today, we're going to be talking, first off, we hope to chat with assistant coach of the basketball team, Mike Garland. And then we're going to talk with Jesse Goldberg-Strasser, talk a little baseball with him. And then we'll talk a little bit more basketball with the reporter Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News. So we have a variety of guests today to talk sports with you right here on AM 870 WKAR. We have an interesting little item to pass on. A lot of you didn't know about it. I didn't know about it either till this morning. But the WAC will no longer compete as an FBS conference after this season. However, WAC Commissioner Jeff Hurd has previously told ESPN that the league will continue as a Division I conference in all other sports. And that saying, Chicago State is joining the WAC conference for basketball to compete on Division I basketball. Their coaches are very happy to go Division I and compete in that level. They say they've been getting killed on the recruiting trails, and this will put them on a more of an even par with the other schools they play with in their league. So the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference, will have seven members along. Another school joining them will be Utah Valley State. And then the addition of those two schools should next season will give the WAC seven conference members, with New Mexico State, Cal Berkeley and Idaho, Seattle and Grand Canyon University. So the MAC the WAC is going to seven schools, that's for sure. A little bit surprising there. A little bitty school. Chicago State has been a Division II school for the longest. And so they'll be Division I now for sure. And that's one little thing. We like to give you some little different items here on AM 870 WKAR. And of course, tomorrow is the game. To me, as I've told you for years and years and years, there's only one rivalry game in college football game. It's not Ohio State, Michigan. It's not Alabama, Auburn, or any of those. To me, it's Army, Navy. And Army, Navy takes place tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And it'll always be, for me anyway, the only really competitive game as far as rivalry games. So I'll always take the Army-Navy game any day. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, just call us up, talk sports, and spread the word around. We want you to tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, the big fight tomorrow night. Of course, Manny Pacquiao and Juan Manuel Marquez for their fourth fight. It should be a pretty good fight, but there's sometimes some things happen. And as we know, Marquez is 39, Pacquiao 33. And one thing about fighters, you know, they don't get old gradually. They get old in a hurry, right away. I mean, you know, he might be feeling great coming into the fight, getting into the ring, and then all of a sudden he'll figure out once he's in the ring, He just doesn't have it. And that could happen. We're not saying it is, but it could happen to Marquez. He just might not have any energy losing the will to fight. When you get older, that happens a lot to older fighters. They don't lose it gradually. They don't lose it in camp, usually. They'll go right up to a fight time and then fight, and they'll just find out they just don't have it anymore. So that's one of those things that happen, and hopefully it doesn't happen to Marquez, because if it is, it should be a very good fight. And if Pacquiao loses, I don't know how much of an impact it would throw on his career if he loses that one. People will start pointing at him probably being a little bit old if he loses that fight. So that's just one of those things to look at. Now, Michigan State basketball team plays tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So that's a 2 o'clock game tomorrow right here, and you'll be able to check that out. Michigan State, Loyola of Chicago. Loyola of Chicago usually has a decent team, not saying a great team or anything like that. It'll be a game that Michigan State should probably win, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be an entertaining game, a lot more entertaining than the last game that they played. So we'll look at that one tomorrow. And then, of course, we've got tonight. Oh, yes, tonight. We have the big game on ESPN3, Michigan State, Michigan in volleyball. In the Sweet 16 in the NC2A tournament, Michigan State and Michigan meet, and this will be the first time they've played three games in a year, in the same year since 1994. So Michigan State and Michigan meet in a volleyball out in California. And so that should be a very good game. You'll be able to see that game tonight on ESPN3. It'll be broadcast on ESPN3, so that's a chance for you to see the Spartans again. So just a few things going on we wanted to tell you about. We got the fight. We got basketball going on tomorrow. We've got volleyball going on. So a lot of things going on, and glad to pass those on to you right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, Chicago State joining the WAC conference as a member. They move up to Division I in basketball. So that'll be an interesting game. And Michigan State has played Chicago State before. In the past, they've played them a couple of times. So they've met Chicago State, and they might meet them again now that they're officially now a Division I school. So we'll see that, and how that they believe it's going to really help their recruiting that they're going Division I. Only time will tell that. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. If you want to give us just a call and talk more sports right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Drew Sharp has a book out. We'll talk with him on Monday about his book. It's on Dave Bing, and we'll talk with Drew about that coming up on Monday. So a lot of things going on, and we'll try to bring them all to you right here on AM 870. We'll try to bring different authors to you and things like that. And hopefully you're getting ready for preparing for the holidays. Have yourself a very happy and healthy and merry Christmas coming up. And we want all of you to stay healthy. And hopefully, I'm trying, and hopefully you'll all join me. Some of you will, some of you won't, but you just join me in eating right. I've been really trying to take better care of myself, eating better, and trying to eat more on the right thing. Because, as you know, everybody eats. We're a lot of us. We eat bad. We don't eat the right things all the time. And I'm doing my best to trying to eat the right things most of the time. And right now, I got to say, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Hopefully, I can. I'm expecting that I'll fall off the wagon. And maybe go hog wild on some things that I probably shouldn't be eating. But I'm going to try to stay on the wagon. I really am going to try. Because usually I do fall off for a time or or two, but I must admit I've been doing pretty good. And hopefully, if some of you want to join me, just eating right. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to eat right, not trying to eat anything really radically different. It's things that, you know, I eat and probably you eat a lot of the times, but you just don't eat enough of them. So I'm trying to do the right thing. So hopefully I will continue doing the right thing. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. That's 877-9527-870. And or just send us an email at sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from on here on WKAR. And we're going to bring in Alex a little bit and chat with him as well. And we'll do that. But hopefully, all of you, you're just going to do the right thing. And hopefully you'll eat right during the holidays. And that will continue into next year. That's the goal. Just try to get everyone, as Steve Morgan and I talked about the other day, just try to get everybody to eating right and getting on the right foot. So many of us, we know we don't eat right. We haven't done it. Alex doesn't have to worry about it because he's just a young kid, so he can eat anything he wants. You know, I get mad, but that's okay. I have to do the right things. If I was 20 again, I'd probably be doing like you, Alex. I just put everything I wanted to eat. I just eat it and go crazy.
But hey, if that was the case, Earl, you'd be a heavyweight.
Yeah, I would. No doubt about that.
That'd be tough.
It would be. It would be. But hey, I'm trying to do the right things. That way, I can keep up with you for a little bit.
I don't know. I'd like to see you back in the ring as a heavyweight.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't like to be a heavyweight. That'd be too heavy for me. just a little bit too small.
You'd be the quickest heavyweight there ever was.
I wish I would be. Hey, we're going to be at the game tomorrow at 2 o'clock. That'll be Michigan State and the Loyola of Chicago. It should be a good game. The last one wasn't that great. It wasn't that entertaining with Arkansas Pine Bluff. But Arkansas Pine Bluff, I should tell you that they're going to be playing in the SWAC championship game in Division II. So they're a pretty good football team, even though their basketball team is struggling. At least they're struggling because they have to play all the road games because they need to increase the income coming into their department, which a lot of schools have to do at the small schools. You know, they have to just play all these games on the road against tough teams. I really feel bad for them, but that's what they have to do to balance the books, and meet their budget obligations. So give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870. Now, are you going to watch the Army-Navy game tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, that's always a classic game. Back to Pine Bluff, yeah, they were a bluff to Michigan State, only like 34-5, sometime in the first, yeah. Pretty interesting to hear, though, about their football team. But, yeah, in terms of Army-Navy, I'll be watching all kinds of formations from them. Yeah, that's always a classic. It's the kind of game that will never get old because you can go ahead and watch Big Ten football.
Yep.
You'll see a classic, West Coast. You'll see some power. Yeah. But you're not going to see the kinds of formations that they run. And it's only when those two teams play each other.
Yeah, because they save a lot of stuff for them. You won't see them playing, running a lot of different crazy stuff during the year. They'll just play basically a straight game with whatever their offense is, power eye or spread. They won't call a lot of fancy formations, but during this game, they'll pull out every trick play they have in the book, and they'll play a little bit more power football than we've seen. So, but it's always an interesting game, and we'll check that out right here on AM 870 WKR. We'll look at all those games coming up. It looks like the Lions and Calvin Johnson is going to be trying to set some records here against Green Bay. He's starting to finish strong this year, so which is good for the Johnson and maybe for the Lions if they can win some more games. They need to get on a winning streak and try to win. I don't think they'll win these last four games, but they need to be on a winning streak and get in there and try to win some games coming up here. Give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870, 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
We're doing a dissection of the funny bone. I'm Flora Lichtman. Join me on Science Friday for a look at laughter, why we do it, where it came from, with neuroscientist Robert Provine and comic Tig Notaro. Then why the military is turning to acupuncture and yoga to relieve soldiers' pain, plus a blue whale barrel roll. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday. I'm coming up on Talk of the Nation right here at 2 o'clock, right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Kevin Lavery with the forecast. Cloudy skies today, a high around 46. A good chance of rain and snow overnight, lows in the 30s. For the weekend, mostly cloudy on Saturday, a chance of light rain and snow until midday, highs in the upper 30s. Rain is likely also on Sunday, highs in the mid-40s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now we're going to talk a little baseball with Jesse Goldberg-Strasser. He's the play-by-play man, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. We'll talk with him. Jesse, interestingly, has put out a new book, and we'll talk with Jesse about his book, The Baseball Thesaurus, and see, well, I'm sort of curious on why he wrote the book and why he decided to do it. And now we've got Jesse Goldberg-Strasser on the line. Jesse, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing terrific. How are you?
Okay. I'm sort of curious, why did you decide to write this book, The Baseball Thesaurus?
Because I needed a book like it, and I went searching for one, and there wasn't one. So I figured, well, somebody has to write it, so I might as well.
I thought there were a few Baseball Thesaurus books out there.
There were some dictionaries, and there were some folks who tried to write down the different slang of the game. Mm-hmm. But it's such a wide variety of language in the entire sport. And so I started to just compile lists, all the different names for home runs, like a dinger or a four bagger, a tater. And from that, I started to put in all the different stories and the slang and fun quotes that I could come about. So it really becomes a fun little book.
Yeah, now, did you find a lot of differences between what you find out as far as a lot of the slang are with major leagues? Was there a difference between major leagues and minor leagues, or are they all? Do everybody just basically use the same slangs?
Everybody uses the same slang, but I went all the way back. There's some old slang in there from the 19th century, and I was writing it on road trips on the bus, and so I had players leaning over my shoulder, making sure that I put in all the newest slang that they could think of. And then we had a Dominican pitching coach the years that I was writing this, and so he helped me out with some of the Spanish translations.
Yeah, because I would imagine that some of the slangs and some of them that are used in different languages from the different cultures, baseball is really a universal sport as we know it. It's become.
And baseball is a sport that's talked so much.
It is.
Everyone's talking, whether it's fans getting together and talking about it, or broadcasters, or the players, or anybody. And that's how that slang comes about, because you enjoy yourself and you're cracking up yourself and other people are enjoying having a good laugh. And so that's all I wanted to do, is just get that compilation together, collect all of those stories.
And now the book is coming out now, right? So you don't know how much it has. Have you got any advanced sales, or is it just now coming out?
So it's already available on Kindle via Amazon.com.
Okay.
And Barnes & Noble is out for the Nook. The electronic version is $5.99. Mm-hmm. It's coming out in print officially. It's being released next Thursday. And so I'm doing an event at Everybody Reads on Michigan Avenue, where we'll officially have the book come out. That's from 5 to 7 p.m. next week.
Okay. So that'll be, Everybody Reads. So hopefully
everybody reads next Thursday.
So hopefully there'll be a big crowd there for you. People are familiar with you because you've been here in Lansing. How long have you been doing the Lugnuts? I know it's been 3 or 4 years or longer than that.
I just completed my fourth summer.
Wow. Okay. That's not too bad. 4 years with the Lugnuts. Probably not going anywhere, I assume, at least recently, unless you get an offer you can't refuse.
It's true. Right now, no, I love Lansing, Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good town, and the baseball is good here. I mean, that's one thing about the Lugnuts. It's really been a consistent winner over the years. They get a lot of people out each and every year, and I can't wait again for the Crosstown Showdown, which will be coming up again.
The Crosstown Showdown last year against Michigan State had the largest crowd in the stadium's history. So,
yes.
No, neither can I. And the other fun part about this offseason is that Mike Redmond went from being our manager in 2011.
That's right.
Now he's the Marlins manager.
Right.
We send players to the major leagues. We send coaches to the majors. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really rare to go from a Class A minor league job level job to a major league managerial job. I don't think that's probably happened before, has it?
No, not that I've ever heard of.
Me neither.
I guess respect has been paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cause he's a good man. He knows his stuff, and you know he's good at evaluating and working with talent. It'll be interesting to see how he does at the level, you know, because it's a little different when you're managing, you know, the big boys as opposed to managing here at this level.
Oh, I say it is. Although our guys never feel that far away.
That's true. Now, tell us some of the other things about some of the idioms and some of the things in book that people may not readily know about.
Well, the classics are the different slang that maybe you might have heard of, a worm burner being a hard ground ball that goes right to the diamond and burns the grass on its way. Mm-hmm. But then there's an old slang term for a walk. That's an Annie Oakley. Because she was known for shooting bullets through playing cards. Mm-hmm. And so people would see those, equate those to your ticket being punched. And if you could get a ticket punched that the pitcher allows you to go to first base, there's your walk. Mm-hmm. And so that came about. A walk was suddenly an Annie Oakley. And there are a ton of those little stories. I also found a number of very weird things about baseball through the years. I was researching ballparks. The University of Texas baseball stadium had a two-tiered right field. Right field was a cliff, so the right fielder could either play on the lower part or he had to play on the upper part, but it was a pretty steep cliff. Those kind of facts that you just find out about in baseball through the years, I couldn't wait to share them with everyone.
Yeah, that's something you're playing up on top of a cliff. You better not fall, I would guess.
No, you got to stay back, and that second baseman now has to play shallow right field. But if you play the lower level, anything over your head onto the top of the cliff is an automatic home run.
It should be. You got to hit the ball a long way. I would imagine that, you know, to hit it over an outfielder's head that's up on a cliff, that's probably had to travel, what, 350 or something?
Something like it, maybe even less than that.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. And the thing is, college ballparks are different from pro ballparks. Or did you find any difference between the slang from college games or to the pros? Or basically, is it all the same in every level?
Well, slang is something that's brought. So a college player might develop some slang wherever he goes to school, and then he brings it with him into the professional ranks. And suddenly, wherever you go, you hear guys referring to it the same way. So, for example, something that's just come about recently is a home run is now a taco. And if you hit it to the opposite field, it's an oppo taco. That's something that I think was brought from college to the pros.
Yeah, so they don't use tater that much, huh, anymore?
No, tater's getting phased out.
Gee, that's a little sad for some of us who've been around a long time. We remember, you know, the slangs now, you know, it's hard for us older guys like myself to keep up with the slangs because they're always changing, aren't they? There, people are updating them, I guess, or just making them a little bit more modern or to go along with more of a modern-day conversation.
I guess so, but yet I'm someone who really respects the slang that has come apart and come about through decades and really baseball over a century. So I've collected everything that you grew up with, everything that was before that. I want it all right there so you can refer back to it.
Now, how long did it take you to collect all these different slangs and everything and knowings and sayings of baseball?
I probably started in the 2009 season, but it was in 2010, just typing away on the road trips, on the bus, going from city to city throughout the Midwest, that this really took part and took shape.
Wow. And I'd imagine that had to be very fascinating. And then when you talked about how some of the players that you have from different cultures, they added and helped enhance your book. And that had to be enlightening, too, to learn all how different cultures had some sayings and some things, you know, maybe different from what you're used to.
Oh, yes. And in fact, they were learning about each other's as well. So I'm just sitting back there listening and saying, go on. But simply sharing those different terms, which leads to the stories, because how did that word come about? Why is a hard-nosed pitcher called a bulldog? Things like that. You get into it, you get into talking, and that always leads to a lot of laughter.
Now, what about the how do people basically inferred to the start of the season? How did you know? Because the season starts where in February, and I know for you what it starts a little bit later. But how did the people infer about how the season starts?
Well, there are different couple of ways. You can refer to it like as in the theater. So the curtain comes up on opening day, and you can picture that. But then there's also the feeling of putting the season on equal parts with the seasons, because the season starts right as winter is thawing, and the grass is all green again. You can hear the robin chirping. And Ernie Harwell, you would read about the various natures of what that spring meant. The voice of the turtle is heard again. So I think it's the idea of the rebirth of the season on opening day, that everything is new once more.
Yes, and of course, I like you mentioned Ernie Harwell, would you say that baseball carries, that announcers probably have a little bit more theme and say-so? People remember baseball announcers. They don't remember football announcers that much, or basketball announcers, or hockey announcers. But for the most part, they remember their baseball announcers, especially ones that have been in the area for a long, long time.
Oh, yes. There's something about that announcer who's the liaison and the voice of the culture and the voice of spring and summer. So I made a definite exertion to try to include Ernie Harwell's best sayings and Vin Scully's and Red Barber's best sayings and how they termed it. Ernie Harwell described that batter taking called strike three, standing there like the house by the side of the road. Or if a team's doing real well, Red Barber would declare that they were tearing up the pea patch. Something about that announcer and how he describes the game that really resonates with folks.
Yeah, because a lot of people pick up on those things and on those, you know, like to say the house that's by the side of the road that Ernie used to always say, and some of the things. It's funny how the fans pick up a lot of things that the announcers start themselves, not knowing they're starting something, but you know, it ends up being a saying that you know that people just sort of gravitate to and pick up on.
No, that's very true. The announcer simply believes that they're describing the game, and they're doing their best, and they're telling the story. But certain things really connect with the fans that it always surprises an announcer. For example, with me, I would say during a Lugnuts game, if there was a terrific defensive play, we'll put a star next to that one on the scorecard, because I would actually draw a star to make sure that the play was remembered as being a terrific one. And then I started having fans presenting me with a star stickers. That way I could actually put a sticker of a star next to the play on the scorecard. And everyone else is drawing those stars. And sometimes the play gets two stars. You just never can quite tell what's going to connect and what's going to make the game more evocative.
Oh, that's for sure. You know, because fans, they all like whatever they like about a game or something. Because that's the thing. That's the beauty of baseball. Even though it's for nine innings, you can always pick out something that you just might like, or something that might touch on somebody that they will just carry with them all the time, won't it?
And I tell you what, the game appeals to different people in different ways. What you love about the game is going to be different than what your friends and family love about the game. There are the people who love the numbers and the stats. Me, I love the stories. Other folks just enjoy the atmosphere, and it's the sport. Baseball's the sport that is played on the very best days of the year. So you go, and you're going to have a smile on your face as you walk right on in, and it's terrific.
Now, for me, football is my favorite sport, but baseball was the first sport I fell in love with. I really fell in love with baseball when I was a kid. And you know, I still love it. I mean, yes, it's not my favorite sport anymore, but I still love baseball. Is there any sayings for people that, you know, or anything for the people that still love the game? Maybe they don't love it as much. They just don't love it as much as they used to, but it's still a special game to them.
Well, absolutely. We'll have folks come out to see the Lugnuts, and the game's taking place in the background while they're there with whether it's their family or their friends or their significant others, and you have the fireworks, you have the drinks and the foods and all the different diversions, and then the game is in the setting. It's in the background. It's not like a football game where you can't miss a play. The second quarter doesn't begin at the football game and you all say, all right, who's hungry? But in baseball, the third inning begins and you go, all right, I'm going to stand up, walk around, get some food. Who's with
me?
So leisurely pace.
That's true. You can do that. That's the one thing about baseball. You can get up and go to the snack bar at any time. You don't feel like you've missed much or missed everything because you've got so much left. And that's always one of the interesting things about baseball. Now, tell us again about where you're going to be on Thursday, December 13th. That's next week. Everybody Read Store. Tell us about that event once more.
That's right. Next Thursday, Everybody Reads on Michigan Avenue. I'll be there. The Baseball Thesaurus will be coming out 5 to 7 p.m. Through Scott Harris's help. He's the owner. And I'll be speaking about it and signing the books. It's going to be a really great event. Next Thursday, 5 to 7, Everybody Reads.
Okay. Hey, Jesse, I want to thank you for being with me and talking about the book. It sounds real good. And hey, if I get over there, I'll get over there. But, you know, there'll be a lot of, we have a ton of baseball fans here in the Lansing area. So I'm quite sure you're going to have a very good crowd coming out.
Oh, I really appreciate it. You're the best.
Hey, I'm just one of the guys in town here. Hopefully, you just get a good crowd over and draw and you'll sell a lot of books, buddy.
Well, you know how I hold you in the highest esteem. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. And we'll talk with you later on. Maybe I'll get a chance to see you over there. Either I'll send you my assistant over there, Alex, and make him talk a little bit. He's shaking his head. He's saying he's going to go over. I think we've talked him into finding out even more so about baseball.
Oh, you've got it. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, Jesse.
Okay. All right,
bye. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Jesse Goldberg Strasser, The Baseball Thesaurus. He's written, and sounds like a very good book. And you can meet him over at Everybody Reads Bookstore. That's Thursday from 5 to 7 o'clock, December 13th, 5 to 7 o'clock on Thursday. Everybody Reads a Bookstore, 2019 East Michigan Avenue in Lansing. Hey, give us a call. Doc Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Next up, we're going to talk a little basketball. With Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News. We'll talk with Matt about the current games. One thing Matt and I are going to talk about is, you know, the scheduling that they have, that they play the games. And some of the games, you know, they're playing a lot of teams right now that, you know, they're just not that strong teams. There's no way to put it. They're just not that strong. So we'll talk with Matt about that and some of the games. I mean, I know they're trying to get the lineup in a good way and try to get that structured in a way. But, you know, everybody say, you know, you can't, you know, I got to say that the basketball schedule, you can't have, like, I know football always, people are always complaining about the football schedule. They want them to play not those four cupcakes and then the eight regular season games. Well, basketball, you've got to play a lot of cupcakes. And maybe that's, I don't know if that's good or not, if they play so many cupcakes in basketball. That might be a detriment to the game, but Michigan State does, but so does a lot of other teams. No one plays a really strong schedule. When they're the non-conference schedule, there are just a lot of games in there that aren't really strong games. So we'll talk with Matt about that coming up here on AM 870, 39 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. You've listening to Michigan State University Radio. Coming up here, stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break. Right here on AM 870 WKAR.
If you could sit down with an astronaut, what would you ask? I'm Flora Lichtman. Join me on Science Friday for Just That Chance. We'll have astronauts Don Pettit and Jeffrey Hoffman on the line to answer your spacey questions. Plus, a look at NASA's new mission to Mars and a community of bacteria trapped under Antarctic ice for thousands of years. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Cloudy skies in the forecast for the rest of the afternoon with a high around 46. Then a good chance of rain and snow overnight, a low in the 30s. Looking at the weekend, Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance of light rain and snow until midday, highs in the upper 30s. Rain is also likely on Sunday, a little bit warmer, with highs in the mid-40s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, talk sports with us, or send us an email right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're going to be coming up, we're going to talk a little basketball with Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News, and we're going to talk with him about what's going on in the world of hoops right here on AM 870 WKAR. So we want you to give us a call, talk sports with us, spread the word around, let everyone know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. You know, we try to tell you that Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock on AM 870, because especially since we're right here in the middle of the state, you can hear us just about anywhere in the state of Michigan right here. You can, whether you're in Detroit or in Saginaw or in Flint or in Grand Rapids, you can hear us all over the state. You can hear us, since we're right here in the middle of the state, between the hours of 1 and 2 o'clock, you can hear us every day right here on AM 870 WKAR. So we're glad to talk with you each and every day and hear what you have to say. You might be have something to say about the pros or the colleges or even the high schools. I got to tell you, tonight I'm going to the Holt Lansing Eastern game tonight, and I'll be over there to see that game at 6 o'clock tonight. So hopefully I'll see you over there. If you're there with me, I'm going over to the Holt Lansing Eastern game. And give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. I still love high school sports, Alex. I've always been a big fan of high school sports. I've covered them for many, many years. And that's always, to me, it's one of the real pleasures. One of the last areas where, where kids play for the love of the game. They really play just for the love of the game, and they love that sports, their sports at the high school level. And you always remember that. I mean, it's many years ago. I can still remember a couple of other football games from high school that I played in. That's just something you just never forget. And, do you remember many of the high school games, even though you haven't been out of school, high school that long, but do you remember many of the games or whatever games of the sports you played?
Oh, absolutely. Not just me personally playing, but I remember going down to the state championships when I would see Joe Crawford and Deion Harris. These guys would be playing in the state championship game when I was just in high school. And it was amazing to see that now I watch these guys. Some of these guys are going professional now. I mean, you look at guys, that from Detroit Renaissance, Detroit Redford, these power basketball schools that produce pro talent.
Yeah, that's true. They've gotten and those. It's nice watching how the players develop. That's what you get a chance to see them, how they develop and how good they happen to get. So, which is really special. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right now. You need to give us a call at 884-4783. That's area code 517-884-4783. We'll give the tickets away to MSU basketball at the end of today's show. You have a chance to win a pair of tickets to Michigan State, Loyola of Chicago basketball. Give us a call at area code 517-884-4783 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Loyola of Chicago Michigan State game. And we have two pair of tickets to give away. So, you can win yourself one of the pair. Right now, let's talk with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News and talk with a little basketball with Matt. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good, Earl. How you doing?
Hey, doing okay. I was just wondering about, Michigan State has played, as you know, a lot of weak sisters, a lot of cupcakes this year. Is that good? I mean, we understand that in football that everybody plays four non-conference games that are really weak, and then you get into the conference schedule, which is good for football. You need some weak sisters to put up with or put up against. But in basketball, boy, Michigan State starts out strong, and then they have a lot of these weak teams or weaker teams, and then they go to conference play. How do you look at that? Is that a good thing for a college team to do?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the worst thing. I think we've seen the other side with Michigan State when they go a little bit too crazy with the tough schedules as we've seen in the past. So, the way Michigan State does it, I think, is a decent mix. Because the thing is, you never know exactly how things are going to play out. I mean, you certainly expect to be a good team. You expect to win games. But you never know. You get into one of those seasons like they had a couple of years ago where every single win counts to get to the NCAA tournament. And, you don't necessarily want every single game to be a tough one. So you kind of got to rack up some wins here you know, early in the season, just to kind of give yourself a cushion. I don't think that's going to be an issue for this team, but, you know, you never know. So, yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the most compelling action, but, I think this Loyola team's not a bad team. So I think you're going to see a little pickup from these last couple of games because these last two were, they were pretty rough.
Yeah. This Loyola team should provide a good game for Michigan State, and when we have Texas coming up at the end, that should be a pretty good game. And it's leading them into having some good games coming up in the Big Ten season. The Big Ten season will be starting the end of December. So hopefully that really that is setting the table for Michigan State. Hopefully they have a good Big Ten season.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that's the hope going forward. And, you know, it's funny, the interesting thing you mentioned in you brought up Texas. And, you know, obviously when you make that schedule, you're thinking Texas is a pretty good team. But,
Boy,
they've really struggled this year. So they're having a lot of issues. So, you know, when is the next real big test for this team? Probably isn't until that Big Ten starts on December 31st. And that's going to be no treat going on the road to play a Minnesota team that, you know, for once, finally isn't having everything go against them. I mean, they're actually staying healthy, and, you know, Tubby Smith is finally getting a few breaks there. This is going to be a tough little test for them. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm not sure how much we'll learn from this team over the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I think we'll learn a little bit more about where their rotation is going to be. But,
Yes. You
know, in terms of, you know, how they – I guess the only thing we'd really learn is if they start losing some of these games, then, well, I guess we'll learn we were all fooled. But, you know, I wouldn't count on that too much, but because I think you're right. I mean, no one's going to provide a tough enough test to where I think we'll have a great idea going into Minnesota, but that, you know, that's certainly a tough way to start things out.
Yes, Minnesota's a good team, and like you say, you're right. They've had a lot of bad breaks. Tubby Smith has had a lot of bad breaks the last couple of years, but it looks like they're finally healthy. They've got everybody back that can go, and they've been playing well so far. I mean, they've been very impressive this year. So they might be. I know nobody counted Minnesota being a top five team, but hey, they might be a top five team this year.
They might be. I mean, we'll see. I think they may be a little rated. I don't want to say overrated. I guess that's what I'm kind of leaning toward right now. But, you know, I'd like to see how it plays out. But I think you're right. They have the potential to be there. But I think it's another example or another indication of how difficult and how tough it's going to be to win this conference. I mean, when you look at Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, and then, you know, and then you start throwing in teams like Minnesota, who's done really well, Illinois, who has really played well. I didn't expect that from them. You know, and then Wisconsin's never going to be easy. Northwestern is a lot better than people thought they were going to be. This is going to be a tough conference. I think it's different than other years where you had maybe two, three teams you were looking at, and that's it. There's not a lot of easy wins on the schedule these days. You know, you might have a couple here and there, but I'll tell you what, if you're not showing up every night in this conference, you're going to get beat up pretty quick. And, you know, Michigan State's early schedule after Minnesota isn't too tough, so I think that's a kind of a good sign for them. Maybe they can ease into things. But, well, I tell you, once they get late January there, they better be ready to go.
Yes, I mean, because they've got a really tough schedule. I mean, do you think, Matt, this is one of those years that maybe eight teams can get invited to the tournament? I mean, we got maybe nine, maybe even 10 really good teams. Maybe Northwestern finally gets in this year, but it's going to be tough for them because they've got such a tough schedule. But it looks like they're up to the task and playing very well. So do you think it might be an 8-9 team year this year for the Big Ten?
Certainly could be. You know, Northwestern has got to be one of those interesting teams. You know, you watch them go down the road and beat Baylor, a Baylor team that won at Kentucky. Of course, that came, what, 3-4 days after they lost at home to Illinois-Chicago. So, you know, it's kind of a strange start to the season. You see a lot of good things from these teams, and then you'll see a loss that kind of makes you scratch your head. So I think that's kind of been Northwestern's issue for a while. I mean, I think they're good enough to get there. They've got some decent players, you know, with Crawford and, gosh, the point guard. Now I'm losing his name because it's so long and I can't believe I forget it now. But you know, and the big guy in there is pretty good too. So, I think they're good enough. I think you can see a season where you're getting 8-9 teams in. You know, we don't know, certainly know exactly what's going to happen as this conference plays out, but I tell you what, I don't see another conference that, you know, is this tough from top to bottom.
Yeah.
maybe a couple of the bottom teams would be Penn State or Nebraska, even though Nebraska had a win at Wake Forest by 20 points. Those might not be as tough, but I tell you, through about, you're right, 9-10 teams, there's not really any easy wins out there. So, if they don't beat each other up too much, I think you could see, eight teams or so getting in when it's all said and done.
Yes, that would be something for the Big Ten to get that many. I mean, it is, as everyone has known, giving them their props, they've been a very, very tough team. Well, hey, we got a caller on the line, so we'll go to the phones, and we got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing well. I wanted to slide in real quick, and I'm coming a little late to the party, so maybe this has been addressed, hitting the Michigan State basketball team specifically. God bless Brandon Dawson for what he's been able to come through. I know his knee is improved, and he's, athletically supremely gifted. I view him in a way, and I debate this with my friend, I think he's an athlete who plays basketball rather than an athletic basketball player sometimes. And I know if you were really good at this, you'd be getting paid Tom Izzo-type money. But every time I see Brandon put the ball on the floor, I just cringe. I understand every player has things they do well, don't do well, strengths and weaknesses in their game. But what at this point can be done? I know they probably do drills with him and pull him aside. But when I see him try to dribble, it just is a turnover waiting to happen. And I know he's coming off his injury. I know, again, we're not giving up on this kid. There are times where he looks like he's their best player on the team. But literally, watching him try to put the ball on the floor, it's painful to watch through the TV. What at this point can anybody do about it? Thanks.
Okay. Well, I've never really thought that Brandon Dawson was that bad. How do you see it, Matt?
Well, I think I don't think that he's bad at putting the ball on the floor. Let me put it that way. In fact, in his 2 years here, I think he's really improved at his ball handling. I think because the caller talked about seeing times where he looks like the best player on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue is a lot of times what Tom Izzo talked about of Brandon Dawson understanding how hard he needs to go all the time. I mean, this is a kid who came from high school where he was a center or a power forward, and he dominated everybody. He was just that much better. And it's taken time for him, and it's kind of different with every guy. It's taken time for him to understand that you don't just show up and you're better than everyone. And he's, it's been slow for him. When he's playing engaged and 100%, I don't think you see those turnovers. I think when you start seeing him lose the ball on that, I don't think he's necessarily 100% engaged. I don't think he's choosing not to do it. I think it's just natural for him that he doesn't realize he's not going that hard all the time. And when he's not, I think that's when you see the turnovers. You see the lazy passes. You see him not strong with the ball. I don't think it's a lack of him not being able to do it. I think it's more of a mindset for him. If you were talking about his jump shots, then maybe we're into something that he's just, plain as day, he's just not good at. I mean, his form is not good. That thing needs to be broken down and rebuilt. But I think when you're looking at him, going to the basket, handling the ball, I don't think that's necessarily a matter of him not being able to do it or do it well. I think it's more of his mindset, because I think when he is dialed in and kind of locked in, you see that. And like the caller said, he's one of the best players on the floor. So it's going to be frustrating until he realizes that all the time, that has to happen all the time. But I think he's aware of it. I think you've seen it get a little bit better, but he's right. There can certainly be frustration when you see that ball kind of bouncing around. And I tell you, Tom Izzo's at the top of the list with that frustration on a lot of days. So, give the kid a little bit of time here. Obviously, he was off for a while. But, I don't think that's going to be the biggest issue for him going forward. So, we'll see how it plays out.
Yes, Matt, we as much basketball as we watch going to practices and such, and the players playing, and like with Brandon, he's one of those kids. He played a center primarily in high school. Many of them have to change their game going to a forward in college. Many of them were probably centers or big or post players in high school, and now they have to play forwards here at the college level. How do you think that's affected those? I talked to Denzel a lot about that last week. It's making that playing a lot more of a guard position, even though he did play a lot of guard in high school. But so many guys come in from high school not having played that much ball at the forward, at the three or the four.
Yeah, I think actually it's interesting. I think Denzel's kind of in a better spot than some guys because he did play a lot of different spots in high school. Mm-hmm. Although you're right, he was, that's the thing. He was counting on to play almost everywhere. So the interesting thing is he's kind of done that a little bit now. I don't think he would have played as much guard or run the point very much if Travis Trice wouldn't have been hurt. But I think, you know, he had some issues there when he first was doing it. But I think in the long run, that's going to help this team, that it almost forced him to kind of, learn on the fly there a little bit. So, you know, it can be tough for these guys, especially some of the bigger guys. I see that being a much bigger issue. You know, obviously, if you're 6'5", 6'6", you're in high school, you're probably the biggest guy on the team. You come here, that's not the case anymore. Now you're playing a 3 or a 4 at best, and it's a completely different game. I mean, look how much Adrian Payne struggled to try and go from a center position, you know, the other way to a 4, more of a power 4. Just even that change has been tough for him. So I think when you flip it around and you see guys who are trying to go into even a 3 spot like that when they're used to being a post player, it's very difficult. You know, I think Brandon understands that to play at the next level, he's got to play those spots. So I think he's committed and willing to do all that. But you're right. I mean, it's tough for these guys. You know, it takes maybe a year. Some guys pick it up really quick. Other guys, it takes a little bit longer. I think Brandon has that athletic ability to do just about anything on the floor. Right now, for him, it's a mindset and understanding to do it hard all the time. I think if he can do that, I think you can see that transition work out pretty well.
Yes, just like we've had to see Keith Applin go from a shooting guard to a point guard. Well, we know that he's got to play the point if he's going to make it at the next level. A lot of people want him to just play shooting guard because that's what he did, and he did it well in high school. But for his future, he has to learn to be a point guard, and he has to learn to be a point guard so he can perform at the pro level.
You're right. And last year, how much did we hear about how he shouldn't be running the point? Why do you have to run the point, you know? Some of it, you got to have a little bit of patience in there. I'm mm-hmm. not sure there are going to be as many detractors now. You know, he's always run the break really well, but I think he's gotten a lot better in the half court. His shooting is better. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. It doesn't just happen overnight, but, you know, these guys got to they're looking out for themselves as well. I mean, Keith Appling's probably not going to be a shooting guard in the NBA, and he realizes that. So I've been impressed with how hard this kid has worked at it and how much improvement he has made. Because you're right, when he came here, he was absolutely not a point guard. This was a guy who scored. You know, he looked to get to the basket, make shots. I mean, he put points on the board. That was his job in high school. So this has been a big change for him. And, you know, Tom's been pretty impressed and has praised him a lot here the last few weeks, that Keith has really started to understand this point guard spot. And I think you're even seeing it now. A lot of times when Trice comes in and they're playing together, it used to be Keith would go to the 2. Now a lot of times Trice is going to the 2. So I think this is a perfect example of seeing a kid who maybe didn't make that adjustment very well early, but he certainly has now. And I think it'll pay off a heck of a lot for him in the long run.
That's for sure. Hey, man, I want to thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure talking with you. I know I'll see you at the game tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll be there to watch Michigan State and Loyola of Chicago.
All right, Earl. You got it. I'll see you there. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News talking sports with us. Well, Alex, do we have a couple of winners?
We do. I'm going to read those right now in just a second. Just want to say we had a lot of entries.
Okay.
We had a total of 10 entries, so we got a lot of different people that could win. The two winners, without further ado, first, we've got the hurdler, the USC man himself, Reggie Bush from Lansing. Congratulations to you.
Okay, congratulations.
And we also have John Freeberg from Holt. Congratulations to you as well.
Yeah, John calls us from time to time. So, yeah, congratulations. And he's going to call you right now and let you know where to come and pick those tickets up at. And you have to be here by 5 o'clock. So make sure we're telling you, you got to. Hopefully you can pick those up by 5 o'clock today. And that's right here at AM 870 WKAR, right here on the campus of Michigan State University. Congratulations to game. And we'll see you. And you'll see Alex and I. Maybe we'll see you at the games tomorrow. If not, you'll see us, or we'll see you one way or the other. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling today, talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Excuse me. We'll be back to join you on Monday right here to talk more sports right here on WKAR East Lansing. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. So we'll see you on Monday right here. I want to make sure you have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and come back and join us on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.